You are listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprung's disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprung's with a positive message throughout. Hello and welcome to episode 46 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. I have a very special guest with me all the way from Wales today. Welcome, Leanne Constable. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. As we mentioned, you've come all the way from Wales to come on the podcast. And people might know you more from your Instagram account as well, Parker's Journey. And we are here to discuss Parker's Journey with both Down syndrome and Hirschsprung's disease. And if it's all right with you, we'll start really from the very beginning. I know you've got several BBC articles out there and people have read bits and pieces about your story. But if you take us back to when Parker was born, you have three older children, and then Parker was born with Down syndrome as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about the non-invasive prenatal testing?
So it all started when I must have been about 16 weeks pregnant, and first of all the midwife phoned, and it was, "I'm sorry, but your blood test," I'd had originally a quad blood test done, and she said, "I'm sorry, that's come back as high chance for Down syndrome." So, you know, silly. I look back now and I think how silly I was, but I was, you know, so upset, and I was like, "Oh, this is awful." And she said, "We can offer you the NIPT test." So it's, non-invasive prenatal testing. So it was just a simple blood test, and they extract the baby's DNA from my DNA, and then they can test that then very cleverly. And it gives you sort of a 99% accuracy. It's not 100%. And a week later, it came back and they said it was 99%, you know, chance that Parker had Down syndrome. So straight away, they wanted me to have the invasive testing. What's it called? Oh, I've forgotten the word.
Not sure. I haven't got it written down. I don't know.
The amniocentesis. That's it. Amniocentesis.
Oh, I was never going to remember that name. Yeah. No chance.
But I refused that because for me, you know, there was never a question of, you know, decisions to be made, as the midwives, and not so much to the midwives, but the doctors tried to force upon me, but it was never about that. So I refused. And unfortunately, I was offered, you know, terminations a lot. And, you know, obviously everybody's entitled to their choice, but for me, it was never about that. It was for me to have the prenatal test, and it was just for me to prepare myself. So,
Most definitely. So you were offered the prenatal testing, came back as 99% possible for Down syndrome. Was there any kind of thought about Hirschsprung's at that time, or was it this purely after the birth?
Yeah, it was purely after birth. I'd never heard of Hirschsprung's in my life. And funnily enough, like when obviously I knew that Park was going to have Down syndrome, I did so much research into predisposed conditions from Down syndrome, and Hirschsprung's never got mentioned in all of the research that I did. Surprisingly, there was a lot of talk of, like, you know, heart defects and loads of other things, but no mention of Hirschsprung's. So, yeah, that was another big shock.
That's an interesting one. I think I don't know whether that's something that's a lot more recent, because I know on the Reach HD websites, or the largest Hirschsprung's charity I think in the world, there's now a separate part on that website for Down syndrome and Hirschsprung's together. So it's
Yes.
obviously a lot more common
Yeah.
than we once knew, I guess.
Yeah, I think for the average person, it's 1 in 5,000. But for a person with Down syndrome, it's 1 in 1,000.
Oh, I didn't know that. Ah, see,
Yes.
this is why I do the podcast. I learn so much from other people.
Yeah, so that's what our surgeon told us, was that it's more common. It's still, not common, but it's more common in children with Down syndrome. So, like 1 in 1,000 children. So,
Were you given kind of a reason as to why that is? Because on the face of it, the two conditions don't have an awful lot in common.
yeah, no, they've never really. I don't think anybody knows, really. It's, yeah.
No, I guess there's a lot
Yeah.
more research to be done.
A lot more, yeah, 100%. So much more.
Hopefully that will most certainly come in time. I
Yeah.
know that you've said before that what you thought about Down syndrome initially and what you know now are sort of completely different. I know
Yeah.
you've had several articles on the BBC sort of written about that. What did you mean sort of by that?
So I think being, I think years ago, unfortunately, going back to the 1980s, so many people with Down syndrome were often institutionalized. Parents were told that their children would never walk, talk, have any quality of life, and they were best put in institutions. And then, unfortunately, they were never given the opportunities the same as you or I. And ever since, that narrative has changed, and people are realizing, no, people with Down syndrome, they can learn, they can live, good lives. And I just had that sort of predisposed, that really old image of a person with Down syndrome, stuck in my head. And unfortunately, that was an image of somebody who'd never been given an opportunity, and it's really sad. So,
Yeah. But if that's all you've ever seen, I guess that's all you're ever going to know. So
yeah.
it's not uncommon to think, oh, actually I've seen this, so this is what's going to happen type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You said you did quite a lot of research when Parker was initially diagnosed. What kind of
Yeah.
things did you find out from your research?
So I found a wonderful charity called Positive About Down Syndrome, and they had a group for ladies who were pregnant with a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of Down syndrome, and they shared so much information. And then just generally then, Wouldn't Change a Thing charity, all the different charities out there, and people sharing their stories. I remember seeing a little girl on Facebook called Daisy, and I was just like, wow, it's not this big scary, diagnosis that you think it is. So yeah, it was just internet mainly, because we were in COVID as well. I couldn't go anywhere.
No, that's true. That's true. I think a lot of people jumped on social media a lot at that time,
Yeah.
mainly to share things like baking stories. I think a lot of people got into baking over COVID. So
Yeah,
yeah, I
yeah.
think that was what social media was kind of full of from what I remember anyway.
Yeah.
But so you kind of did the research, found out quite a bit, and as we've seen via your Instagram, Parker's absolutely thriving, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing brilliant. He's such a character, and he's just, he just need, I just treat him the same as I treated all of my other children. He's And you know, things are, you know, slightly different and things take a little bit of time, but it's just a case of treating him the same as my other children. You know, things do take longer, but we call it the scenic route and it's a lot more beautiful, as I have
Absolutely.
really learned.
Absolutely.
So
No, that's absolutely fantastic. That's brilliant. And also, if I may move on to Hirschsprungs as well. So, Parker was taken to Cardiff Hospital. What age roughly was he diagnosed?
So he was born and on the 8th of April, and originally, again, because of the Down syndrome diagnosis, I'd done a lot of research about, you know, problems, and I was amazed because he was born at 36 weeks because my placenta had started to fail. And he came out and he was doing amazing. He didn't need no help breathing. He was taking his bottles. So all the fears that I had originally, they were, I was just like, wow, he's doing, you know, absolutely amazing. We got taken down onto the ward and they were all saying, you know, oh, you should be home within a day or two. And after about, I'd say the first night he was born, I had to set my alarm to keep waking me up because he wasn't waking for feeds, and I was like, right, okay, that's fine. And I was feeding him, and then by the next day, he was just not taking his feeds, and he was being really sick. And I kept saying to them, he hasn't passed the meconium, and they were like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. It can take, you know, up to 48 hours. And I was like, no, he's my fourth child, I know. The meconium usually comes within, you know, a few hours. And they were saying, you know, no, it's fine. And then luckily, really, that because Parker had the Down syndrome diagnosis, or the NPD diagnosis, they hadn't fully confirmed it at that point, but I knew as soon as he was born anyway. But they were giving him a heart scan. So the consultant came down to give him a heart scan. And she was asking me, you know, how is he doing? And I said, he hasn't pooed. And she was like, And she said, how old, he must have been about 48 hours old at this point. And I said, you know, he's not feeding. There's something not right here. And straight away she examined him and she said, I think he's got Hirschsprungs. And I was like, what? What's that? You know,
I
what a name.
think I'm going to struggle to spell that
And luckily, I was blessed with an amazing consultant who just knew straight away. You know, she said, you know, I can't 100% tell you that, but this is what I think it is. And she said, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to take him up to the NICU. And that was it. That was the beginning then of our Hirschsprungs journey, really.
Wow. I mean, it showed all the classic signs of Hirschsprungs from the people I've spoken to before, that and all the signs, I mean, I showed 30 odd years ago, of not feeding, not passing the meconium, et cetera, et
Yeah.
cetera. All of the classic signs. But I guess if, like so many people who are diagnosed with Hirschsprungs, my parents included, had never heard of the condition before, so you wouldn't necessarily know
Yeah.
what to look for, I guess.
Yeah. And so many doctors have never heard of it.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
So many doctors haven't heard. Like I said, I know I was lucky that I had a good consultant and she, you know, she knew her stuff. You know, we were really lucky because he could have ended up getting a lot more poorly had she not listened to me.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good point you make as well. But again, I happened with you and happened with a lot of parents as well, the mother's instinct and
Yeah.
going, I think something isn't right. And it did sound as though that you had people that would listen to you. I know I've spoken to a lot of people who've really had to fight and go, I know something's wrong, and keep getting told, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. But you know, don't you? You know something's not right.
You know, I can remember I was trying to wake him up so much. I was even, you know, I was trying everything possible to try and wake him because he was just so sleepy. And, you know, I was like, Parker, you know, I was trying to wash him and everything, and he just wouldn't wake. And I was like, this is not right.
No, but that's another classic sign, isn't it? Of because it happened with me as well. At sort of about 3 weeks, I was very drowsy, didn't feed, very, very drowsy, very sleepy. I don't exactly know why. I don't want to speculate as to why. I'd rather know, like, rather than speculate. But yeah, drowsy is definitely one of the things that I've heard from. It happened to me as well. But yeah, thank heavens for mother's instinct, I guess.
And good doctors who listen to parents.
True, very true, very, very true. So he was taken to Cardiff at that point,
Well,
diagnosed.
yeah, he was born in Swansea, and they took him to the NICU in Swansea first, but our local hospital is not equipped to deal with Hirschsprungs, so he was ambulanced then up to Cardiff, and then we were in Cardiff for a good few weeks before we finally then had the confirmed diagnosis of Hirschsprungs. And
Lovely.
Down syndrome.
Oh, and Down syndrome as well.
Down syndrome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you've mentioned as well a little bit more about the Ronald McDonald charities. In a couple of weeks' time, as people are hearing this, I do have somebody from Ronald McDonald, head of marketing, coming on to talk about everything that they do, because I hear so many people talk to me about the great things that they do. And I thought,
Oh, it's
well,
amazing.
why don't I have somebody on who will know what they're talking about rather than me who's knowing things third hand? But I know you've mentioned Ronald McDonald before. Would you like to talk a little bit more about your experience there?
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
To be honest, I'd never even realized till you go into McDonald's and you see the little house things at the checkpoints, and you can put, you know, and I never really knew what they did, and I thought, do they really do much? That they're outstanding, absolutely outstanding. When we got transferred to Cardiff, again, it was in the middle of COVID, so it was an absolute nightmare. We didn't know, you know, it was a good, you know, it's a good hour's drive from ho our home, and I didn't want to be away from Parker for a second, let alone having to drive, you know, and I did a cesarean as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And they were saying, you know, we don't know, you know, where you're going to stay. And that was Swansea. And then when we got to Cardiff, they said, look, we've got Ronald McDonald's across the road. We can do an application, and, you know, fingers crossed, they've got space for you. And they did, and they were absolutely amazing. It was just, you know, it just took away so much stress. It would have been even better if it wasn't COVID, because my other kids couldn't come up and things,
No.
but that was COVID restrictions, you know. But it was literally a stone's throw from the hospital. You know, we had a lovely, you know, nice room. You had kitchens, you could pick yourself food, and it was just unbelievable, because I just couldn't believe that a charity actually did this for parents
Yeah.
and took away all that stress, you know, so I could just concentrate on, you know, getting Parker better and getting us home, really. So
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that they do really. I mean, they let you concentrate on the most important things, I guess,
Yeah.
rather than worrying about where am I going to book a hotel, where am I going to do this, and what am I
Yeah.
going to eat, and you know,
Yeah.
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I, like you as well, hadn't really heard of Ronald McDonald before starting this podcast.
Yeah.
But I think in the UK they've been around 34 years, and I think worldwide they've just celebrated 50 years. So they haven't been
Wow.
around sort of a long, well, reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
But for someone like me who's 32, wouldn't necessarily have had the Ronald
Yeah.
McDonald Houses
No.
at Great Ormond Street.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, I'm all for publicising them as much as possible.
Yeah. You
I think
know,
they're fantastic.
we were up in Cardiff for nearly 3 weeks. Can you imagine how much it would have cost us to have stayed in a hotel? You know, and
Fortune.
yeah, nobody's got that, you know, unless you're really rich, but nobody's got that kind of money. And you know, and it was just the little things that they do as well, you know, just when you get there, and they've got like little packages of like a toothbrush and toothpaste, and
Oh,
yeah,
that's
just
so
and
nice.
yeah, and they put like things in the kitchen, so they're like you know, things that you can just help yourself to, you know, if they got some pot noodles, or do you know what I mean, just little
Yeah,
things.
just things that'll keep you going type thing.
And it was around Easter time as well that Parker was born, so they had like Easter eggs, and they were like, have an Easter egg.
Oh, that's so nice. But
Yes.
that's, you know, and again, it's a little bit of a, I guess, distraction in a way, isn't it? Or a helpful
Yeah.
distraction in a way from everything that's going on. No, I
Yeah.
didn't know they did that. That's so
Yeah.
nice. That's
Yeah, it's
really, really
lovely.
nice.
Yeah. And I think they also like connect with other like local businesses and things. So then the other local businesses, if they've got like things left over, they'll take them then to the Ronald McDonald House. And so you get and there's like lots of baby things as well. So like they give me like baby vests and body washes, and yeah, it was brilliant. It was so lovely.
That's they really look after you then, most
Yes, they
definitely.
really do. Yeah.
That's brilliant. No, thank you so much for that, because I didn't know half of that stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. If we bring back to Parker for a little bit as well. So at this point, he's been diagnosed with Hirschsprung's and Down syndrome. Was it
Yes.
short segment Hirschsprung's, or was it different type?
It was short segment, but
Short segment, yeah. So I think
yeah.
it's around 80% of people who are diagnosed with Hirschsprung's are diagnosed with short segment, which is what I have as well.
Yeah.
So diagnosed with short segment. At what point then were you able to come home?
Once we'd had the diagnosis, and then they, because we'd caught Parker so early, he didn't have to have a stoma or anything. So they trained me how to do bowel washouts. So once I was fully trained and confident to do that, we were allowed to go home then and wait for surgery.
That's fantastic, but it's fantastic that they caught it early, I guess.
Yeah.
But again, going back to what we said before about mother's instinct, and about
Yes.
so catching it early, meaning that you then don't have to have the
Yeah.
stoma, etc. That's really, really good to hear.
Yeah.
So then, what age roughly did he had his pull through?
He was 12 weeks.
12 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
So pull through it, and then absolutely fine since then.
No.
No.
No, that's another story, unfortunately. Yeah, so we went home doing the bowel washouts, 12 weeks. We thought, great, pull through surgery, daunting, you know, when you're putting your child through such major surgery, and when they tell you how long they're going to be under as well, like our surgeon said, you know, expect to be. He's going to be under for about 7 to 8 hours. I was like, what? You know, that's a long time, isn't it?
Definitely.
So he had the surgery, and originally we thought everything was pretty good, but within about 6 weeks we were back in the hospital, unfortunately. I kept saying we'd been going back and forth to the hospital, and they tried different things. What's it called? The dilation, which I can't even think about, because it, I think I got PTSD from that. It's just traumatizing. And about a couple of weeks after that, then we're really lucky as well with Cardiff Hospital. Our surgeon is amazing, Oliver Jackson. And we've got all of the team on like speed dial. We can ring them at any time, you know? So I phoned them and I said, look, he's being really, really sicky. His stomach looks really distended. So we were straight up to Cardiff, yeah. And that was the first of our little stays in Cardiff again, which was, there's been quite a few.
Yeah.
And yeah, they examined him, and yeah, it turns out that like he was doing tiny little bits, but he just wasn't emptying himself. So yeah, ever since then it's been back to the drawing board, really. And we still rely on bubble washouts.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely it's not an uncommon story that I've heard from several people. Myself included, at the washouts till I was about 9, then had the Ace Malone stoma till I was 23, I think. So not an uncommon story by any stretch of the imagination. But in terms of, so again, sort of flipping back as well, I'd like to talk a little bit about Makaton as well. Because it's something that you've mentioned quite a bit. And again, something that I've done a little bit of research on, but wasn't sort of 100% sure, certainly when I heard the word for the first time. But how has, or certainly what is Makaton, and how has it helped Parker?
Makaton, again, has just been wonderful. So with Down syndrome, it's expected to have a speech delay and obviously learning difficulties. So I started looking into Makaton from a very early age. And it's a simplified form of sign language. So whereas BSL is a language in its own right, Makaton is just a simplified form. I started doing Makaton with Parker from probably about 6 months. And now he's absolutely flying with it, you know. He does all the signs so he can't verbally speak or verbally communicate, but he can communicate through Makaton. And that is just, you know, it's just brilliant, just so he can communicate, you know. He can tell me when he's hungry or when he's thirsty, and, you know, he signs all the animals and all the colours, and, you know, I'm going on to a level 2 course actually on the weekend, because he's caught up with me now, he knows.
He knows too much.
Yeah, he knows so many, you know. I'm like, right, well, I need to get my game on now and get learning some more.
That's fantastic. Well, it's really good to hear that he's progressed. It sounds like he's progressed at an enormous rate.
It took a while at first, where for a long time he didn't sort of quite grasp that if he used the signs that, you know, I'd understand. And all of a sudden then it just clicked, and he was like, oh, a sheep and a cow and a...
That's brilliant.
And he's just doing really well now. But the only thing is that, like you said, it's not that well known. So when you've started school now, the teachers don't know Makaton, which is a shame. I have asked them to go on courses, which they are planning on, because he goes to mainstream school. But you know, they're sort of saying to me, "Oh, what's this sign and what's that sign?" Yeah.
it's you are right in saying that actually that's something that is very, very important. If you have somebody that is coming into your class that uses Makaton, then knowing, I mean, obviously knowing everything is not going to be possible necessarily, but knowing the basics and the when you said hungry, thirsty, et cetera, et cetera. Knowing those, I think, is something that I think that would be incredibly important. Incredibly important.
And I think for me as well, with the Hirschsprungs, what always bothered me the most was him not being able to tell me when he was in pain or when he was uncomfortable. So like now a lot of the time he will sort of he'll sort of guide my hand and like put it to his belly, so I sort of know then when he, you know, when he's uncomfortable and when he's in pain, really. So yeah.
But that is good that he has learned that, which is so you now know.
Because it's a minefield, isn't it, old Hirschsprung?
It certainly can be. It certainly can be indeed. Another thing that I wanted to chat to you about is Parker's modeling career, because he is a model as well. And how did that sort of come about?
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So it all started when Parker was in hospital, when he got taken to Cardiff. First of all, my older daughters created an Instagram account for him. So I didn't, at first, I didn't really post on it. And then I started posting on it a bit. And I happened to come across then a modeling agency that, purely, they only represent so individuals with physical or you know, all disabilities basically. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's really good, you know, because you know, you don't often see, you know, on high street stores and things, pictures of people with differences, you know, visibly different. So anyway, I applied and they were like, yeah, we'd love Parker. And then the next minute he was doing shoots for Sainsbury's and Primark and Jewels. So it was just a bit bonkers really. He hasn't done he's done a lot of Pampers adverts as well. They ask him to ask us to make like TikTok videos and things for Pampers. It's great fun, do you know what I mean? So
That's fantastic. They're all enjoying it. All he's enjoying
he loves it. He loves being in front of
it. He loved
the
the attention.
camera. Just he just
Fantastic.
sits there, looks gorgeous, and we're all like singing and prancing around like idiots, making him smile.
But there are some on your Instagram account of him modeling. He does look like he's having a lovely time.
He does. You know, he does enjoy it, and the things then that like we do at home, you know, he's just like it's just being at home then and there, and we're just doing different things as well. So,
Brilliant. Oh, that's amazing. And if we talk about as well your Instagram account, because you do have a fair few people who who are very interested in Parker and your journey, his journey, and what you're up to and everything. You said that your daughter set it up and everything. I mean, so as of today, it's about 130 odd thousand followers. Did you ever think you'd get sort of so many people
No,
invested?
never in a million years. I still think to myself, wow, how did that happen? I really, it's just mad. My daughter's set it up. It was just sort of a way to update people with how Parker was doing and stuff. And they did it at first, and then they said, oh, ma'am, if you want to take over it. So I was like, right, okay. And I was part of the charity again, Positive About Down Syndrome. And I think it was like Down Syndrome Awareness Month. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to start posting because, when I was pregnant, it was finding accounts and finding people who were telling the real story of Down Syndrome. And I thought I'd just share our story, and and after a while it just went a bit crazy.
It has. Can you kind of, I guess, pinpoint sort of at what point it really started blowing up?
So I decided to make a TikTok account as well, and we made a TikTok account, and I think one video that I made, it was all about my diagnosis of Parker's diagnosis of Down syndrome and a lot of his Hirschsprung stories, because I raise awareness about Hirschsprung's as well on his account. And they went quite viral, and they had a good few million views, and I was like, wow, that's massive, And then Instagram, there was just it all. I shared one video of Parker and it went crazy. He had, I think the video had like 28 million views.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was 28 million views. And it just went from there, really. It just started, not every video goes viral. Do you know what I mean?
No, it can't.
No.
Unfortunately, it'd be really easy if it did.
But sometimes, and yeah, it just grows really. So it says, I share, like I said, a lot of stories about Hirschsprung. So I did a video for Hirschsprung's Awareness Month in September, and that did really well. And people just like to hear the stories, and then once they start following, then they just want to like see what he's up to on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I think as well, people love the positivity. I mean, certainly I've seen that across Instagram, but a
Yeah.
lot of things that I see, I think people are more drawn to positive stuff.
Yeah.
We're all well aware that certainly with Hirschsprung's, not everything's going to be positive,
No.
and we know that full well. And I
Yeah.
think, there's a lot of people who share things that are very real life as well. They're like,
Yeah.
this happens in my life, which isn't so great, but then this also happens in my life, which is
Yeah.
fantastic. So I think the balance and getting the balance right, certainly
Yeah.
from what I've seen from your account, is fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what I like to do, It's like with Down syndrome, I'm like, yeah, no, it's not all a bed of roses. It's not all perfect. But it's just different, and different is absolutely fine. And that's what people have, where I think when you receive any kind of diagnosis, it's the difference. You're like, oh, I'm not like, John down the road. But that's absolutely fine. And accepting that different is just perfectly normal. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I try and do, is just share. Yeah, it's not, Parker is, like I say, he'll be 4 now in April. And no, he's not walking yet and he's not talking yet, but that's absolutely fine. It's, do you know what I mean? When he gets there, he gets there. What's the rush?
You know,
he's loving life and I'm loving life with him. So what's the problem, isn't there?
That's
There
the
is
most
none.
important thing. That's the most important thing. Is he having fun? Yes. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Cool. You know,
exactly.
Everything else you said, you know, will happen in its own sweet time.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely, absolutely
brilliant. Yeah.
And just on Parker as well, as we sort of wrap towards the end, what would you like to see sort of for Parker future wise?
Hirschsprungs or
Everything. Everything and
everything.
anything.
Hirschsprungs wise, I just want him to it's a long journey, isn't it? So I just want things to keep going as they are, and you know, hopefully we'll get a really good end result. But for him, just in general, honestly, I just want him to be happy. I just want him to be happy. And whether, you know, if he, I remember saying before, you know, if I, what bugs me in life is people think, you know, a good life, and that's where I've changed, is you think a good life is by what you can achieve and what you can become and all this, and you know, what house you've got and what car you drive. But all I ever want for Parker is to be happy and to feel loved. And yeah,
well,
you know.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Can I see a modelling career then?
I do think to myself, when I do all this, I think to myself, you know, it's his future. And do you know what? If when he's older and he, you know, loves doing it. Have you ever seen George Webster on CBeebies?
No, I haven't.
So he is a TV presenter with Down syndrome on
Okay.
CBeebies. And I'm thinking, well, George, you might have to watch your job, because Parker
Yeah,
will be
he's
coming
in
for
trouble.
it.
His days might be numbered on the BBC.
Yeah. But no, I would love to see, you know, and as he gets older, you know, for him to take over his Instagram account, and you know, he can, you know, take it over and share what he wants to share, and raise awareness, because the amount of people that we reach and change people's perceptions, the better, because then things will be better for Parker in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Could not agree more. But
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. And just finally, I know we've talked a little bit about Instagram and TikTok, but where can people find you?
So Parker is on Instagram as Parker's Journey 08 and Facebook. And he's also on TikTok as Parkerboy T21.
Fantastic. Well, to you, to Parker and the rest of your family, I wish you all the best for the future and whatever's to come.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast, or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprungs_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.